mic here, and you just keep us in and out of the little sections. It's graceful. It's wonderful. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
My name is Tom, and welcome to the Unity Center for Positive Living. We're glad you could join us this morning, especially if it's your first time. Or if you are returning after not being here for a while and made the trip all the way up to our wonderful little center. I'd like to read to you from the Daily Word with today's opening message. As I look within, the light of understanding dawns in me. As I look to the east on a clear morning, I see the sky begin to grow lighter about an hour before sunrise. The changes in colors are nearly imperceptible at first. Birds begin their morning song as the skies grow brighter. Then, as golden rays of light proclaim the rising sun, I hear the words from the creation story of Genesis, "Let there be light." And there is light. Illumination, the light of spiritual understanding, dawns within my consciousness in much the same way. The darkness of ignorance begins to lighten. Insights emerge, dimly at first, then more vividly. Finally, understanding pours forth like the radiant morning sun. And there is light. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And that's from Genesis 1:3. Please remain seated while Mike leads us in Surely the Presence, and that's located in front of your songbook.
Surely the presence of God's love is in this place. I can feel the mighty power and the grace. I can feel the rush of angel wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence in this place. Surely the presence of God's love is in this place. I can feel the mighty power and the grace. I can feel the rush of angel wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of God's love is in this place.
And now let's all say our opening statement together, and that's located inside your program. Together, there is only one presence. And one power, active as the universe and as my life, God the good. And please stand now while Mike leads us in our welcoming song, Altar of Love.
So this one is a call and response. I'll sing a line and you can repeat.
Surrender in sweet.
altar of our love.
Good morning. It was.
Marie, how are you doing today?
I'm listening downstairs.
How are you doing?
Who's downstairs?
Cindy.
Who is?
Cindy.
Cindy.
Hi, Cindy.
Remember, went to hug.
Or some people show up. When you're just setting up an hour early, you know. So
yeah.
To me, it was always, not always, but very often, just really an amusing kind of anecdote of what was going on.
Hey!
Yeah, worried about you there.
Do I get another hug?
Oh, wait, sure.
You don't
have
too many, right?
Make my day.
Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Give another hug and say thank you for all that you do.
Well, you're very welcome.
It's kind of like I hear you're here. It's like you're a little angel that flutters here and there. You're here for a second, then you go off to here and stuff. But Penny's so grateful to have you do all the things. We were over there yesterday and stuff, taking food and stuff. She says, yeah, Johnny done this for me. He's done this. Johnny's just everywhere. Because I talked to Daria too and started saying, Johnny's done this and this. So you're so grateful.
Thank you, Bobby.
You're welcome.
Yay. Okay, so our regularly scheduled activities are located in the calendar hanging up in the hallway downstairs. We also have Unity five basic principle cards that are out on this back counter here and down in front. Please be sure to grab one or two or three on your way out so that you can have one with you all the time and you can share with other people that you love. Okay. Didn't want to go any farther without recognizing a couple of people. Susan went through and redid all of our garden things to the point where there were the green recycle cans were full a couple of times. Johnny went up on a 32-foot ladder to clean gutters the other day.
Couldn't have done it without Tom's help. Thank you, Tom.
Yeah. Standing at the bottom.
Tom and Strider, good old Strider.
Yeah, that was pretty much the easy part.
No parachute?
Yeah. But so we had some incredible people here.
I wish you hadn't said that.
Why?
Because now it reminds me I've got to go home.
I don't know what to tell you, John.
I'm going to call John.
Don't have a house. Right? Yeah. One other thing, grandfather, as you remember, is having his Sundance medicine wheel. This will be the first lesson in the series that he is doing tonight this afternoon at 3:00 out at his longhouse. Yes.
When I looked on the calendar this morning, it said it was Saturday, which was.
Oh, did Johnny put it on the wrong day?
I don't know.
It's today. Yes.
Okay.
Well, you know, when I grew up, Monday was the beginning of the week and Sunday was the end. All of our calendars start with Sunday and end with Saturday. So.
Unless you change the setting, whatever you want. Okay, and probably the most important announcement. As you can see up on the screen here, and in conjunction with the email that Johnny sent out earlier, Penny is doing her recovery, and her friend Linda set up this meal train page. And what meal train is you can do donations and donations. She's going through hyperbaric oxygen therapy. I don't know if anyone's aware of that, but it works really well for people who are recovering from any type of illness or injury. So they're asking for donations there. And the other part is the calendar.
Hey, just keep going down.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Keep scrolling down. You'll see the dates come up and over on the... there they are.
Okay, so you can see things that you can volunteer for. This is a very cool page. So please, if you have time and you can do any volunteering at all. Penny originally was going to go to aftercare center, but that was the plan, but her insurance denied it, so we're all having to pitch in, or not having to. We have the opportunity to pitch in on her recovery. So do take a look at it. If you haven't, up or down?
Up just a little bit. No, oh, that's up? No, down. Okay, there. Hold it there.
Okay. We can resend you a link to that too, if you would like. Does anyone not have a link to it? Or not get an email? Okay.
Hey.
Yeah.
Tom?
Yes.
Is Linda's number on there? I was looking for that. I can find, or maybe John, do you have it, her number?
There it is. Oh.
Well, that's, I don't know if that's Penny's or Linda's.
That's Penny.
Oh, you do? Okay, I'd like to get that. Thank you.
I haven't signed in yet, so I don't. But evidently, if you sign in, you can get it. So, yes. So do stop by there. If you have time, that would be great. General instructions are... you can read them there. Oh, there we go. Penny and Sophia like healthy, easy to prepare meals and snacks, and organic or caffeine-free teas. So when you have the time, when you have the funds, please do pitch into this, because Penny is a wonderful member of our community, and that's kind of what we're here for. So, any other announcements? Jerry?
Yeah, there'll be an Abraham meeting this Wednesday at Rosemary's, a potluck at 6, and the program will be at 7.
Excellent. Thank you.
Interesting.
Anyone else? Right. Thank you for everything that each one of you bring to our community. We appreciate you sharing the gifts that you have to give. And please join me in our unity statement, also located in your program. We'll say it together. We believe in our oneness with all life and the power of love. We teach universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others, revealing the one God presence. We practice prayer, meditation, and service to be conscious of our oneness in God. And please stand for our song of joy, Long Time Sunshine. Mm-hmm.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me, Johnny? Well, the last few weeks, I've been kind of rattled. My head's been kind of rattled. And I really was having trouble concentrating and trying to figure out what I wanted to do a reading on. I kept picking it up and then putting it down, picking another one up, putting it down. Books came in the mail, which I love, from Unity. So I had a whole lot more to go through. And I said, okay, I gotta stop this. So I thought I had one this morning, and as soon as I read it through, I thought, no, that's not it. So I picked up another one, and I believe that I can relate to this really well, and maybe others can too. It's called understanding. I don't know what's best for you. And it's from a booklet called Compassion, Living Life with an Open Heart. And this particular reading is by Reverend Teresa Burton. From a distance, I may believe that I know the facts of your life and think I know how to help or advise you regarding the troublesome situation. I might even indulge myself in judgments about you and the other people involved in or about the situation itself. When I truly understand, however, I act and speak with compassion. At least that's what I want to do. My innate wisdom lifts my understanding beyond outward circumstances to a deeper, more enduring reality. Seeking to understand gives me a blank slate and frees me from preconceived notions about you. Understanding humbles me and frees me from the notion that I know what's best for you, and instead encourages me to open my mind and my heart to you. Resisting the urge to offer advice or solutions, I'm no longer invested in trying to get you to think a certain way or see a situation from my perspective. I have no agenda for you, and I have no agenda for your choices or the decisions you make. And this freedom gives me the peace that I need to meet you with understanding and plant the seeds of trust that will grow between us. Releasing ideas of right and wrong, or good and bad, I practice understanding when I hear beyond your words and I listen instead for your feelings. I think this is really important. Words of anger may blaze like the bonfire, but also fan the quieter flames of fear. Words of loneliness may offer a window into an abyss of grief. And words of hopelessness may point to a path strewn with unrealized dreams. But with understanding, I create a field of acceptance, a safe space that welcomes every part of your human experience with patience, kindness, and love. My understanding imbues with my awareness that you are much more than your words, your attitudes and choices, and your circumstances don't define you. I practice understanding. When I look beyond your history or your actions, and I see your divine nature, with my loving heart, I understand and behold the truth of your being. And and reflect it to you so that you can know the truth too. From this elevated perspective, my eyes meet yours, and my gaze shows you that I understand. It's the eyes, the windows, and the soul. I don't have to say words for you to understand. My eyes can do it. My hand reaches for yours, and my reassuring touch lets you know that I do understand. I may not understand all of it, but I'm trying. My heart opens to your heart, and with deep acceptance and in comforting peace, together, we weave a tapestry of compassion and understanding, for we are all one.
Wonderful how our various parts of service just flow together. Please remain seated for the meditations on everything you do, do with love.
Expanding into the fulfillment of my potential, and I am at
being the fourth Sunday of the month, we will be using the progressive Lord's Prayer, and that is found in your songbook as a handout, so be sure to use it and put it back in the songbook. Together, our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, I am thy kingdom come, I am thy will be done. I am on earth, even as I am in heaven. I am giving this day daily bread to all. I am forgiving all alike, even as I am also all alike forgiving me. I am leading all men and women from temptation. I am delivering all men and women from error. For I am the kingdom, I am the power, and I am the glory of God in eternal, immortal manifestation. All this I am. John, besides bringing us his words of wisdom, kindness, and understanding, has also gifted us three more boxes of books, Eileen. Eileen, as you may or may not know, has been doing a marvelous job of arranging all of our books in the library. John mentioned to me that he brought also a plethora of little book unity booklets, so be sure to check those out on your way out or whenever you have time. And once again, we are honored to have John with us today.
Plethora? What does that mean?
Lots. Means lots.
Lots. A lot. A lot. But I brought this too. This is a Bible that years ago I had a bookstore at one of my centers, and this was left over, and I kept it. This is the Lamza version, if you're familiar with it. And what I like so much about it is it's so simple and clear to understand. George Lamza was actually, he came to the United States from Iran, or Iraq, I think it was Iraq, at the behest of J.P. Morgan to translate oil documents, you know, with the Middle East documents for J.P. Morgan and the Rockefellers and stuff, you know. And en route from Europe, he was hijacked and kidnapped, taken to like Peru or someplace, and they got him free. But he ended up in working in New York as a translator, and he was Christian, and he opened the Bible in the church he went to, and he was just confounded at what he was reading in English, because it just didn't agree with him at all. So he ended up becoming a translator of this from Aramaic texts, and especially the New Testament, if you like to read any of that stuff. I brought it to read some, but I decided not to read it. I'll just leave it. Because I took the bookmarkers out, it'll take me 5 minutes to find them. But it's really good stuff, and it's real simple. And Aramaic was the spoken language of the day when you're familiar with all that. And so, here you go. So having said that, it's good to be alive and good to be back with you.
What I want to say, a few things. I decided not to wear that lapel mic because I think I'm okay with just standing still. I used to worry about being a sitting duck, but now don't need to be a moving target. I can just stand still and enjoy your presence. Thanks for doing that. Because that reminds me of something you'll hear about a while later. But what I want to start off with saying is that you cannot experience God by thinking about it. Thinking won't get you there, right? It takes a lot more to have that experience. And what I find from my point of view is that in Christianity, I can't really say that about other religions because, you know, I've had experiences with Sufis and Jews and Hindus, yogis, and various other expressions of pathways to God, or with God, in God. But having been in the Christian orientation all my life, I can speak for Christians. And it seems to me that a lot of people believe that what they believe is going to get them there. But belief is not the same as faith. As Daily Word, I think it was Thursday, if you read Daily Word on Thursday, it talks about Charles Fillmore pointed out that faith is the perceiving power of mind. That it is a power that we have all within us. It allows us to perceive what is possible and perceive what is true. But in between those, we stack up a lot of beliefs, and our belief is like our operating system, you know? Are you familiar with that? Our belief system is our operating system. And our belief system is something that we have developed through our lifetimes, right from babyhood, and our parents and others around us and siblings, if we had siblings, they contributed to our building blocks of our belief system. And some of those beliefs are good, and some of them are right on, and some of them are not. Some are not healthy, some are not helpful, and some are very divisive and separate us from one another. Can you relate to that?
Yes.
Do you know, some of the things I grew up with, and my mother was Quaker, grew up in the Friends Church in Indiana, but she was so opinionated that I adopted a lot of her beliefs, bless her soul. You know, that like people who talk with their hands all the time. They're either Jew or Italian, right? You know, talk with their hands all the time. It was interesting because a lot of people talk with their hands, especially people who do sign language, right? There are ways of communicating. There are ways of expressing ourselves. There's so many things that I grew up as beliefs that I just took as true. Usually a belief is a conclusion that we've arrived at because someone told us that's the way it is. And it could have been our parents, our teachers, our preachers, you know, ministers, or people that we grew up with, and people on the street, and so many of them are so ignorant and so limited that we need to upgrade our belief system. If you have a phone, you get messages from that operating system regularly that says it's time to upgrade your system, right? For your phone or for your laptop or your computer, time to upgrade your system. We need to do that with our belief system as well, because we need it to be true, because it is the baseline of how we operate in life, whether it's about health or happiness, relationships, finances, prosperity. Like we affirmed a little bit ago, these wonderful affirmations. I am the love of God in expression. Do you believe that? Have you taken that enough into your heart to believe that? I mean, I'm truly thankful for all the good in my life. Do you believe that? Do you feel thankful for all, even the hurtful things, the disappointments, even the losses? If we're thankful for it, we'll find the blessing in it. Dalai Lama said, it's not a problem to fail. It's a problem to miss the lesson in failure.
if we fail at an attempt of anything, in a relationship or work or our health or whatever, the failure is that we get stuck and stay there and don't really grow through it. And that includes addictions and all kinds of things. We just got back Wednesday night, late from New York. We went back there for, I was there for 6 weeks. My wife was there for about 10 or 12 weeks. I can't remember which. Last time I was here was in September, and I told you she had jumped ship when we were up in the San Juan Islands and flew back to New York because our daughter and her husband had been going through major changes. They had to move, and so Jane got there just about the time they were moving from one apartment to another. My son-in-law had a heart failure and renal failure about 2 or 3 months ago and is recovering from that. And they opened up 3 new restaurants on the East Coast, 2 there in Brooklyn where they live and 1 down in Miami. And so all this stuff was going on, and so Jane went back to help out, mainly with our grandson, Finn, who's 2.5 years old. And so in other words, she got to play with a little character for all that time and really became his playmate, literally his playmate. She would get down and roll on the floor and play with him, but I would get down on the floor, but I didn't do a lot of rolling. My body isn't that nimble anymore. She does yoga, so she gets that really, really, really well. So here they are living in Brooklyn, and it's an apartment on the 5th floor, looking right out at the New York Harbor. You can see the Statue of Liberty, you can see the end of Manhattan Island, and you can see all this shipping and boats and ferry boats and tugboats and sailboats and motorboats and ships coming in. It was the opening of the United Nations. You may have heard about that and the demonstrations. Being with a 2-year-old, we didn't hear about it until after the fact. You know, the big demonstration they had for environmental sanity, as it were, you know, to really wake up and clean up the air and clean up the earth and clean up the water that people have to drink and that the earth has to drink and all of that. So it was a wonderful time we had there. And we walked a lot. We walked about 6 to 8 miles a day and up the about 5 blocks up the hill. Not much of a hill. Not as much as I thought it was, actually. We'd go to this bagel shop and get bagels. I remember the first time I went into it here, you know, here we have bagels, right? We have a few selections. There they have like pumpernickel, sesame, onion, garlic, this garlic, and plain, and everything. So I turned to the guy, he said, "What would you like?" I said, "Make me one with everything." I've wanted to say that for years. He said, "Do you want anything on that?" And I said, "Sure, cream cheese." It was great. Went back there several times, but it was a wonderful time being there with them and having that experience, having those experiences. And then at the beginning of October, we went down to Miami, or went down to Florida. My daughter, she had her 39th birthday, and the next day we flew down to Jacksonville and then to an island just a little bit north and east of Jacksonville. You know where that is. It's on the northern coast of Florida. She was riding, participating in a 100-mile bike ride, which is a fundraising event for the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. JDRF supplies and it sources millions of dollars every year for research into finding a cure for type 1 diabetes and type 2 diabetes. And so they do a lot of work in developing different apparatuses that people can use. And you know, when she first had diabetes, she was a little over two years old. And we used Kim strips and had to poke her finger every day or several times a day. And these Kim strips you would wipe off after a minute, the blood drop, and then you'd compare it with the color scheme on the bottle that the Kim strip came in. It was very primitive, but better than it had been, where they put them in sanitariums and let them die. And anyway, they did a lot. There were 475 bicycle riders at this event. We stayed at a really nice resort. But the island is flat. If you're familiar with islands, it's not like Hawaii. This is a flat island. It was 75 degrees at 7:30 in the morning, 89% humidity, if that registers anything for you. And Liana was riding with five friends, all from New York, and some of them had not ridden before, at least that caliber of riding, 100 miles. And two didn't finish, three didn't finish 100 miles, but she did. And she has diabetes, and so about 80 miles through the course, she felt very low blood sugar. So she stopped for an hour to get back in balance. And here we were waiting and waiting and waiting. You know, there were hundreds of people. Like I said, there were 475 riders. By that time she got back, it was like 85 in the, and it was afternoon. But she finished it out because she believed she could do it. And by God, she was going to do it. And I say that by God intentionally, because she knows the power of God working through her. And she did it for Phil. Sorry, I get emotionally unbalanced sometimes. She wants to ensure that she doesn't think she's going to really find a cure or be healed necessarily, but for him, for his prevention and for his health, that's why, and for kids worldwide to find a cure, whether it's beta cell transplant or whatever it is, implants, whatever it is, to find a way through this. So we did this, we went to New York 2 years ago when Finn was a baby, and we spent about 2 months there, and then in the fall we went to Los Angeles because our son's wife had a little girl, our granddaughter, and we were there for, again, about 2.5-3 months down in Santa Monica where they live. And one thing that I had done being there, we'll go back just a little bit. You know, I grew up with the idea that Jesus Christ is the only show on the road. And what I found is when I was in college, that all the things that I was taught not to believe in or taught were bad stuff, like the Hindus have all these gods and the Buddhists and Jews and all the, you know, da, 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 and the whole list of things. When I studied their teachings, I read the Bhagavad Gita, and I began looking into yoga, and I studied the Buddhist principles and teachings and so on and so forth. What I found was that a remarkable synergy, a remarkable coming together, and those beliefs were just ignorant perceptions of, like, Hindus don't have 100 gods, they just have 100 or however many expressions of God. There's only one God. And the same thing, if you walk into a Catholic church, how many different gods will you see depicted in their icons, right? Or any, many, many churches, you know, we have Jesus and we have Mary and we have Peter and Paul and on, right? All different aspects of faith, all different aspects of attributes of the divine, as it were. So when we were in Santa Monica, we went to a Yogananda shrine. It's called the Lake Shrine Temple. You know Paramahansa Yogananda, you remember him? Remember you wrote, he died in my lifetime, about that time, I think I was about 2 or 4 years old. And he started this Lake Shrine Temple in just north of Santa Monica and Pacific Palisades. And I wanted to go, and I thought it'd be a Sunday morning meditation for an hour. We walked in, it was like a church service, like this. And up front they had the altar and flowers and beautiful, it's packed. This is very international crowd. People from all over the world show up there every Sunday. And it's like going to church, they have a nice long meditation. And then they have pictures up here. They're not actually photos because there's not a real photo of Krishna or not a real photo of Jesus, right? But they have these and several gurus right at their altar. There's Jesus and there's Krishna. Wow, I can live with that. I can hang with that. So what they said in the announcement time, they said is we are getting ready for the holidays, and if anyone would like to sing with the Christmas choir, the Lake Shrine Singers, then sign up and we'll have our first rehearsal today. So I did, and I love to sing in choirs and choruses and stuff. So I did, and I went through that for several weeks up until about the 11th of December. And the Sunday before we left, the Sunday just before we left there, we were in the service packed with people. Again, international, a lot of people from Europe or from India show up there, Africa and America, of course. And the monk who was speaking, who looked very much like a priest, he looked very much like a Catholic priest, like he just came from Notre Dame or something. I mean, the University of Notre Dame, not in Paris. But anyway, he said he was guiding the meditation. And right in the midst of the meditation, someone's phone went off. And the voice of Siri, you know Siri? You have reached your destination. Get that message sometime in silence. You won't hear it with your ears. You'll hear it with your heart. And that's what faith brings you. To really have that faith that this is possible, to have that direct personal experience with God through prayer, through meditation, through service, and through giving and through receiving. So the question I have for you today is, how does your life show what you believe? How does your life show your relationship with God, with the divine, with the sacred? There's so many ways, so many avenues that we take to do that. Going to the medicine wheel today. Unfortunately, I have plans. People are coming over to my house at 4 o'clock to carve pumpkins. That's something we did last weekend with our grandson. It was so much fun doing it with our old friends here. But you know, the medicine wheel, that's another pathway that I grew up not understanding it at all. And all the native ways were savage, right? How bogus, how untrue, what a lie that was for us, all of us. At least that's the way it seems to be. But Jesus said, no one can get into the kingdom, into the consciousness of God, except by being like little children, innocent. We spent just all those weeks with Finn and playing with other kids on the floor, rolling around with toys, picking up and putting them out, and just that innocence, that openness, that aliveness that comes constantly and that comes just automatically. We're called to do that, I think, if we want to live in that consciousness with God. So how is our life showing up as that? We talk about, like in this, our affirmation again, talk about prosperity. And you touch upon that very well, because to me, prosperity means good quality of life, good health, happiness. That's what prosperity is. It's not money. New York is all about money. You know, they had some problem with the washing machine, and this guy comes to service a washing machine, this beautiful guy, black guy with dreads who's from Jamaica. Jamaica man. And I said to him, what are you doing here in New York City? And he looked at me with this kind of dumbfounded, now how do I answer that question, look on his face. And I said, because of the money? He said, yeah. That's why all the people are gravitating there, because of the money, because of the survival, because of the getting ahead or getting up to ourselves even. But it's about having a quality of life, not a quantity of life. It's having a quality of health, not just surviving, but striving and really thriving through that whole process. So, It is said that if many of you believe, you'll be saved. You know what? I believe we're saved from the start. I mean, that's what Jesus was all about. We are saved because he lived and died the way he did. The way he walked through death and the resurrection. But just to be born and incarnated on the earth is the salvation for all of us. So why don't we wake up to it and live that way? And believe that everyone is equal, everyone is one. And whether we dress differently or speak differently, you know, I've lived in Tokyo, I've lived in London, and they speak a different language in London too. They speak a different language in Brooklyn too. If they don't speak like us, doesn't mean that they're bad or wrong. It means that they're speaking the way they, where they come from, where they came from, who they are, who we are. But when I was in Tokyo, I didn't speak Japanese until I went out into the marketplace, so travel. And then it was just to get by, because being very, I can speak enough Japanese to get in trouble. But the same thing in traveling in Mexico or other countries, you know, you speak enough, just enough to get by. But what is important is the language you speak with your eyes and your heart. And do you speak that to people you love and care about? Whether they are friends or family, whether how deep can you be and go with them? Okay, having said that, I'll leave it for that whole notion of the perceiving power of mind and faith and belief. And I want to close with a ghost story. Since it's almost Halloween, and kids all over this country are, you know, dressing up in their costumes and all that, and there's so much. I'll leave you with a ghost story. This is true. My first church was down in San Luis Obispo, California. So this was about 40 years ago. We had a number of people who were coming from South County, and one time a gentleman told me, you know, a lot of us don't come here because we're sensitive. And we see disembodied souls. We see ghosts. And I was really surprised. No one had ever spoken to me that way before, said anything of that nature before. And I don't see, I'm really dense, you know. I see bodies. I don't see disembodied souls and figures. I didn't know how to deal with that. But I had a woman coming to the church one day a week. Her name was Diane, and she was sensitive. And so every morning, beginning of the day, we would sit and pray together in my office, and I told her about that. And I said, is there anything we can do? And she said, well, let me check it out. So she went down, I was upstairs, and this is significant because the building we were occupying as the church, we had bought before I got there, and it had been, prior to that, a mortuary. And they built on a chapel that seated about 60 or 70 people. You know, we got through the two services, we were rocking and rolling, having a great time, and you have people, this guy's telling me, a lot of us don't come. And these are people in the South County in San Luis Obispo. There's a whole fascinating history of Oceano and the land of Mu and Lemuria and all that, the Dunite people and so forth. So there's kind of a leftover of that, and the Theosophy Society and all that. So anyway, Diane went down and sat down in the front. We had chairs, not pews. And she sat down and then she came back up to my office. I said, well, and she said, well, as soon as I sat down by the piano, just a whole group of souls gathered around me and said, help, we need out of here. We want to get out of here. We're stuck. We can't leave. And I said, what? What does that mean? None of you think about it. Think about it. This is a church that had been a unity church for years, but prior to that, it had been a mortuary, and they had had many funerals in that sanctuary. And we're talking about people who had died of all kinds of deaths, accidental deaths, suicide death, overdose death, all kinds of traumatic as well as graceful deaths. And there were some who didn't go on to the next room, as Jesus put it. In my Father's house there are many mansions. To the next room, right? And so I said, well, what do we do about that? And she said, well, I don't know, but I have a friend who is a shaman out in Redwood. Redwood was a Native American community about 20 miles up in the Carissa Plains away. So she went and contacted him, and he came down the next week, and we talked it over, and I told him what was going on, and he said, well, you're lucky that one wall in my office was all mirror. He said, well, you're lucky there because they can't go in front of mirrors, so you're okay. But I said, well, this is not about me because I'm around this place all the time and I've never felt or known anything. Maybe once in a while I feel my hair, on my arms and my neck kind of getting, what do they call it, chicken skin, your hair stand up kind of thing. And but not knowing what in the world that meant or why that was doing it. He said, well, they love food, but they cannot eat food. So if you place some food near an open window or door, that will give them a way to go out. And I thought, well, that sounds really kind of primitive and interesting. And I said, okay. So the next time we had a potluck, every month there. And it was a great time, we had a lot of fun. So I served up a full plate of hot food that would have a lot of aroma, good aroma, and when everybody else was gone, cleaned up, and of course I was the one who always made sure everything was cleaned up, I went to the back door and set it right at the threshold of the back door, and I propped the back door open, and I went home. An hour or two later, he came back and closed it all up. And then the next time Diane was there, I think it was on Tuesday, I asked her, would you go check it out for me? She came back from the sanctuary and she said, it's clear. So that's my ghost story. It's true. But I say that because I think we all have ghosts. We all have ghosts in our life. And they may be people that we were really close to, people we loved dearly, our parents, our grandparents, that are no longer with us. They may be relationships with loved ones or lovers or friends or jobs or things. We may have ghosts that are like, in the Bible it talks about demons. That was one of the scripture verses in the book of Luke where I was going to talk about where Jesus was casting demons out of people and they proclaimed him as the Son of God. Well, we don't look at that as demons anymore, like epilepsy or diabetes or things like that, or depression. We look at them as conditions or illnesses that we need to deal with and treat them, or even addiction. That's not a demon. It's a sickness, it's an illness, and we can treat the addiction, but we have to be real about it. We have to take the steps, whether they're the 12 steps or whatever steps it is that we take in order to heal and deal with what's going on in our life. So we all have our ghost stories. And I hope your ghost story has a happy ending. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor.
Now I remember I'm supposed to be in meditation, so I'll get used to that. Let's just take a moment to get still. And take a deep breath and relax. Breathe deep. And as we do, let's open our mind, open our hearts to the presence of love that is within us and all around us, in this room, in this very room. And we allow that divine love to fill us, to flow through us with every breath. and we allow that divine love to heal us, to heal our minds and our memories, our hearts. And if we do have ghosts of the past, that we may bless them with love, the true divine food, to heal them and release them, to free them, to go on their way. Thank you for your presence here with us and within us. That presence of love that joins us, that brings us together, that unites us as one unity, one family of unity. And we send that blessing to all of those that we are connected with, all our relations, a Penny, a grandfather, for all beings everywhere. That we may have peace in our lives, in our relationships, in our country, in our world. Thank you, Living Spirit.
Thank you to everyone who brings out these wonderful beings to our center to share words of love and wisdom. For our offering, there are two containers. The silver one is for supporting our church, and the copper one is for our outreach programs. Our offering prayer is located inside your program. Let's say it together as we hold our offerings in our hands. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I give and all that I receive. Thank you, Jerry. Now let's all say the blessing and thanks together found in your program. We bless these gifts and send them forth to heal, bless, and prosper. They are evidence of our faith and belief. They do good work in the world and return to us, multiplying abundantly, and so it is. For our healing, we'd like to focus our collective healing group energy for someone. Just call out their name or hold them quietly in your heart. Beloved Mother, Father, God, we ask for the highest and greatest good for our brothers and sisters, and endeavor to see them through your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen. Let's all say our prayer of protection together. You'll find it on the back of your program or on the wall to your right. Together, the light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us, the power of God protects us, the presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. Now let's all form a circle, join hands, and sing our song of peace. Thank you to all who made our Sunday service possible. And don't forget the coffee, refreshment, and fellowship downstairs after. We wish you all a wonderful day.
Let this be the moment.